Valley with Tony Simpson, Ryan Champion and Jack Bennion.
Hello everyone, welcome to Absolute Rally. It's good to be back. Where are we at? Episode 5, Season 6. Are we still speaking with passion? Yeah, undoubtedly. Are we still speaking with any applied knowledge? As usual, very, very questionable. Are we going to have a laugh as we do it? Yeah, that's pretty much guaranteed. Are we going to try and bring you things that you don't already know? Yeah, we always try to do that. Are we going to bring you the headlines? Yes, we're going to do that. Are we going to have an Australian rally champion at the end of this podcast? Yes, we are. So without further ado, we'll start this one right here. We're going to say hello, Jack Bennion.
Hello, Tony Simpson.
And hello, Ryan Champion.
Hello, Tony Simpson and Jack Bennion.
There you go. We've got started. We're not messing about today, boys, because we've got quite a lot to get through. Believe it or not, it's not all going to be about where Sebastian Ogier is going to end up driving, although there will be a reference to it at some point because it's a rally podcast, and that's kind of a given thing, I think, at this time of the year. Anyway, Jack, I'm going to go to Wilson, desperate to land Ogier for 2017.
first of the news, eh? First of the news.
Yeah, absolutely. Page 12.
Yeah, that's the one. I think we all know about this one, didn't we? Don't think this is a shock to anyone.
I think it's well trodden ground now, isn't it? I think it's fair to say. I think it's well trodden ground. I think what's interesting is that I think aside from, you know, all joking aside, I think even I think it was Andreas Mikkelsen made reference to the fact that until kind of Sebastian makes his choice, it's kind of they're not going to have their choices made for them either. So there's this domino effect that's waiting to happen. I think I've seen a nice image on one of the WRC Twitter feeds with regard to Hire Me. I think it was hashtag Hire Me or something like that. That was on a little bit of duct tape on the back of OJ's car, which I thought was a lovely touch. But as I say, I think there was an interview done with Sebastian Ogier with regards to this is a crucial period of time now with regards to getting ready for, obviously, for getting ready for Monte Carlo. But still, Rally Australia, did we get any surprises, Ryan Champion, from Rally Australia?
I think Andreas Mikkelsen was he a surprise? I don't know. We know Andreas Mikkelsen's a very capable driver. He's been fighting for second in the World Championship this year. He's obviously a frontline member of the front-running factory team. But still, we rule him out for regular wins. And there he was, controlling the rally and taking a dominant victory. He let the others make mistakes. And not only that, what better time to put yourself in the shop window than when you haven't got a contract for 2017. So great drive by Mikkelsen, an important time in his career.
Now, before we cross over to, obviously, the children's playground where Jack Bennion sat outside trying to find himself a date. We hasten that. By the way, folks, if you are listening to the podcast, you are UK-based. Jack Bennion is looking for a date for a function that all three of us are going to be attending. So if you want to tweet in, send some pictures in, maybe. Don't know if that's whether that's actually acceptable or not these days. But, you know, obviously keep them clean. Because at the moment, Jack is about three steps away from potentially ending up on some kind of sex offenders list if he continues to hang around where he is now. Jack, before we go any further, I tell you what is quite telling. There was a little bit of it's almost like a sneaky headline at the bottom before we carry on with Rally Australia. Is Grunome signs off Volkswagen's running. You wonder why that's still going on, don't you?
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it? We discussed the homologation last week, didn't we? And Ryan very rightly pointed out that unless you commit to the championship as a manufacturer, then you can't homologate a car. But VW have said that they're taking the process of getting the car ready for homologation as far as they physically can. So they'll run it on snow with Grunome a bit later this year. I think it's the first week in December, isn't it? And then that'll finish off the sort of the running for the Polo. It seems a bit odd that you would do it, but I suppose they started the process of getting the car ready, so they may as well finish it off. But you think if they're trying to save a bit of money, then you thought they'd have not gone to Sweden and shipped the cars out there. But yeah, odd one, that one.
I was just thinking that we've talked about obviously the reasons for Volkswagen pulling out, and I think that probably just underlines that it isn't necessarily all about the money, is it? It's about saving face. It's about being seen to be doing the right thing, because like you said, they've pulled out of the championship. It's gone. Don't bother developing the car any further. Yet they are doing. And I think there's two things. Firstly, it shows that they're not trying to save all the money they could. And secondly, Volkswagen do every single thing to the nth degree. Everything in that team is perfect, you know, from the service park to the trucks to the testing to the shipping of the cars. Everything is done correctly, even to the point of developing a car that's never going to be used. And I think it just, you know, anybody who's been close to that team knows that attention to detail is what maybe marked the success of that team. And I think, albeit in an odd manner, that maybe underlines that.
Boys, if we can just come back to Rally Australia, talking about Volkswagen, obviously Volkswagen is at the forefront of everybody's thoughts in rallying at the moment. I can't help but feel, Jack, that the situation almost lends itself to helping Yari Matti, because it's just, I think I've seen one stage end where he was basically saying, that's me, Yari Matti's back, I'm happy, this is the way I know I can drive and things like that. But you're still left kind of scratching your head and you're almost feel like he needs to just start again.
He is rallying front-running enigma, isn't he? Yeah, I feel that, but it's so difficult to work out sort of in relation to the other drivers, how good he is, where he should be, what his position is in the ranking of drivers. And last weekend gave us no telling what, you know, where that is, unfortunately. It's just a really odd situation with Yari, isn't it? Sometimes he's brilliant, sometimes he's a little bit off, you just never know.
We were talking about Yari Matti and obviously the reset that needs to happen for him. Obviously we talked about Andreas. I'll be honest with you, I was really impressed with and we know Hayden goes well you know, around that area. He knows, you know, Australia, and he knows New Zealand, very similar type of surface, I suppose, and everything else. I was very, very impressed with Thierry Neuville and how he just kind of kept his head down and just kept going, really, right? He just kept going, and, you know, we're still with him with a shout a second, and various things happened, and he just kind of slotted into that third position.
Yeah, and I think it all bodes well for next season, doesn't it? We've talked about this endlessly, but it's really exciting. You know, we've got an open championship next year with brand new cars, and it's going to be a thrilling battle. There's going to be no favourite, and we've seen how close the battles have been on the rallies this year. We're going to throw in maybe a bit of unreliability next year while the cars have been developed, and certainly, you know, some cars could perform infinitely better than others early on next year, so it's going to be exciting, isn't it?
I think it most definitely is. This is going to be the most challenging podcast to edit ever in my life. Jack, I think we're...
Can I add to Neuville, Tony?
Yeah, of course you can. That's what I was coming to next.
I don't know if it's still the case after Australia and GB, but I know up until before GB that if you took the points after Argentina, which is where Neuville crashed, Neuville would have been champion if he just took the rallies after Argentina and before GB. So I think what we're seeing is, I don't think we're seeing any difference in pace in Thierry, but I think we're seeing a more consistent Thierry Neuville and someone who is driving consistently better, if that makes sense, over each rally. And I think he's definitely going to be one to watch next year. I think it's hard to say, because you say there's not so many drivers after they've had a sort of dip in form, but I think we really could see a very, very strong Thierry Neuville next year.
Do you think this is where, I suppose, right, we're having this kind of, I use the term squad system that Hyundai appear to have. Obviously, they've got three drivers. I think we all kind of acknowledge the fact the other week that we've seen kind of probably a Thierry as a world championship possible winner. You know, Hayden playing catch up, and obviously, you know, Danny, is it too late for Danny, or is he just constant? I don't know. But is this the beauty of having three drivers like that, that when one comes out of form, they can drop down to, you know, the second team and vice versa, and they can move the drivers around?
Well, they've certainly got strength in depth, haven't they? And I think that's why, you know, the Hyundai squad will be strong for next year. Like we said, do they still lack a cutting edge front running driver? Maybe not, but I guess they do. If we're talking in comparison to Ogier, then yes, they maybe do. But if next year's car is right at the forefront in terms of pace, then they've got a team that can certainly win rallies. And as you've just rightly said, it's a real mix of talents that they've got. We see Hayden Paddon as the coming man, undoubted speed on gravel, improving speed on tarmac. We hopefully will see him as the complete driver eventually. Neuville is really there. If Neuville can carry on with this consistency with a good car, then he's in with a real chance for the World Championship next year. Danny Sordo, we keep talking about him, maybe he's the consistent man, but again, he's shown good pace this year. But ultimately, if they want to win the Manufacturers' Championship, which is why teams are in there at the end of the day, why manufacturers are in there, somebody like Danny Sordo is a real key to help him win that championship. And particularly when we're going to see three cars scoring points next year.
Jack, if I can just come to you, I suppose the performance of the M Sport drivers only kind of lent weight to the fact that Malcolm Wilson was right to stay at home to try and engineer bringing in, you know, the best of the best at the moment, obviously, but just bringing somebody in, because it's just, you know, Mads was there or there about Eric Kamali, you know, it was an unfortunate cut. He just turned in a little bit too easy and it went over on its roof, but it was kind of just kind of petered out, didn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't a great rally for them again, was it really? And yeah, it's not been a great year, unfortunately, for M Sport. I think, you know, you only have to look at the Elvin's pace in the R5 compared to the Works WRC drivers to see that the pace really hasn't been there from the World Car this year. Whether that's all down to the drivers or whether that's some car issues as well, it's difficult to work out. But I think they'll definitely be looking forward to next year and looking at the videos and the new cars. I think the aero looks really impressive on the Fiesta, and you know, maybe they've got a chance with this new car to try and turn things around a little bit.
Okay, boys, we're gonna move on from Rally Australia now. Obviously, we're gonna cover a little bit of it. We've got Molly Taylor coming up a little later on. Of course, you did that rally and also was crowned Australian Rally Champion. A couple of people I want to kind of tip our hat to before we move on to a few other bits and pieces. Lappy, of course, Jack, wrapping up that WRC2 championship, and also a little bit of a piece in your paper saying that he will be in WRC next year.
Yeah, he seems to be quite adamant that he's got a seat for next year. Won't tell us yet where that is. That's the interesting part. We've got to wait and see where he's going to end up. But you know, the Toyota link's been quite strong, hasn't it? But judging where any driver's going to end up is difficult at the moment. Like we've already mentioned, with this silly season going on, and Ogier deciding where he's going to go is going to sort of act like a domino for the rest of the teams and drivers to see where they end up. But you know, I think it's probably most likely that we'll see Lappy in a Toyota, and probably a well-deserved entry into the championship next year, really.
Fantastic. Now, a couple of people I just want to kind of doff our caps to again on Rally Australia. Again, a project I was involved with. Martin McCormack took his BDA Escort over there, and it was all very last minute, and I was involved with that project, and we were a bit nip and tuck on getting it there and getting it through Australian quarantine and everything else, but we managed to do it, and it was a joy to see some of the images, and it was a joy to see some of his stage end bits and pieces, and he looked like he had a ball. I haven't spoke to him yet. I'm going to speak to him next week probably, but yeah, fair play Marty. He put your money where your mouth is. You shipped your Escort out there and you went and had a ball by the looks of things. Did you guys see any of the images of Marty on it?
Yeah, I saw
quite a few
pictures
of Martin,
yeah.
Oh, it's just mega. Right, just a couple of things that I want to kind of blast through before we lose Jack, because I know we haven't got Jack for a great deal of time today. He's a man in demand. He's auditioning possible dates for this particular function that we're going on a week on Saturday.
Does that make you still a black?
I suppose it does. I suppose I've got the Scouse accent. What could possibly go wrong?
You've got the accent for it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Julian Ingracia has tweeted a teaser picture today. Boys, don't know if you've seen it. It was his overalls, his Red Bull overalls, just minus all the Volkswagen livery, which I thought was quite clever. Obviously, laying weight to the fact that, yes, they are testing things. And I don't know whether that means that wherever those guys go, and I know there's obviously personal sponsorship for the drivers, which I think we discussed the other week. But does that mean, I don't know whether Julian Ingracia has actually got personal sponsorship. Do you, Jack?
I don't know that for sure, no. But I think it's the crew that's sponsored, isn't it? You know, they both wear the logos and stuff on the overalls and all that sort of stuff. So.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Difficult one, that.
No, because I know with some of the drivers, you know, they'll have their lid livery, for instance. I think Thierry Neuville has a Red Bull lid, but Nicholas doesn't. So I think sometimes it can be just a driver. Right, do you know anything about that?
Yeah.
Well, I think, like you say, sometimes it can just be the driver. But then if you've got a four times winning crew, then I guess you'd be keen to support the core driver as well. An interesting one, though, that actually ended up in a conversation with Chris Meek a year or so ago about this. Chris obviously used to be a Red Bull-sponsored driver. And when he signed for Citroën, they wanted the image rights to the helmet. Therefore, he couldn't take his Red Bull personal sponsorship to Citroën.
There you go. That is surprising.
It's true. I know that the headwear is a separate deal in most drivers' contracts and stuff. So helmets and hats, they're paid differently, and it's a different amount of money, and it's a different way of paying and stuff like that. So the deals are different between sort of helmet and overalls and actual back-end drivers and stuff like that. So it's a bit of a complicated system.
Therefore, would the same issue preclude another driver from going to Citroën? That's all I'll say.
Now, have you ever had anything interesting on your helmet, Ryan?
No, probably not as interesting as you, Tony.
Couple of things. Calendars, boys. Before we go to calendars, and I was speaking to Grizzly Rich Milner from M Sport, friend of the show and everything else. Rich is still out in Australia sunning himself. But Jack, you wrote a piece today, and this is something quite close to both Ryan and my heart with regards to M Sport to launch a single make series with the Fiesta. Now, I think we need to perhaps clear this up to across the world, really. Obviously, we have the DMAC Drive Trophy, which runs the R2T in not only the World Rally Championship, we also have it in the British Rally Championship. Just tell us a little bit about what this one is.
So it's basically a one-make championship that's going to run in Britain, possibly in the British Championship, maybe with just rounds in the British Championship and part of other British Championships. But it's an R2 spec, sort of similar car, but no, that's not right. Let me start that again. It's based on the R2 spec car, but it is, it's got a different ECU and stuff like that, so it's not quite as quick as the Fiesta R2T, and it's very similar to the Adam Cup car that they produced, which is sort of a bit similar to the R2 car. So basically slower than an R2, and they're producing sort of a single make championship
for
it. Hey, I tell you what, that was so clearly explained,
Jack.
That's probably the worst I've explained anything in all my life, but If you want me to explain it fully, hit me on Twitter.
Yeah, Jack, I'll clear it up quite succinctly. Right, M Sport are going to produce a car which is basically hasn't got all the mods of the R2T. It's going to run very, very standard. I think it's going to run the standard intercooler, but it is going to run the sequential gearbox. And you are in a position to upgrade it as you go along, which was the original plan for the R1 car, to take it to an R2 car when that first came out. And that is going to be there. And that's going to be an option.
Yeah.
Now, it's not homologated. Neither is the Adam Cup car, but they are trying to find a home for it in the British Rally Championship. Right. Where are we at with not homologating one make series cars?
That's a different one, isn't it? Because normally they always used to fall, if it was either Group N or if it was more than Group N, it fell into Group A, didn't it? So that's, I guess, a new situation where the car won't be homologated. I don't know, is the honest answer to that. You would think that you could almost have an R2T light, as it were, and it would still be homologated, but clearly not.
My concern with it, and you know, I'm a big supporter of one makes, is probably not quite as much as Ryan Champion was in his day, but is when the one make finishes, the value falls out of the car. I think when you've got something homologated, there's still some value in the car as well.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true. But at least if this base car can be up-spec, then obviously that allows you at a later date to take it to the full R2 spec. And I think if they're talking about a build cost of £30,000, you know, that's got to be a good idea for one mate championship, because as we know now, the full R2 cars are over £50,000. And, you know, that's a significant difference
it's
in terms of build cost.
We're going to get... Go on, sorry. Go on, Jack. Yeah.
No, you're right. No, I was just going to add, there's so few homologated cars nowadays that every time a Mark brings out a new car every couple of years or so, you know, you're buying a new car anyway. So the actual, I don't think there's actually a problem there, because people are, you know, to stay competitive, you've got to buy a new car every couple of years anyway.
Yeah, but if you want to go out and do BBC4, then you can do it in an old car though, Jack. So I'm led to believe.
That's very true. Now, I was going to say something there, boys, before Ryan came in with his facts. You can prove anything with facts, Alan Partridge once said. Before Wright came in with his facts, is that what we could, if we continue to go down this route, Jack, we are going to lose, you know, your back runners of doing the international WRC rounds. You know, I've worked with, I'll give a perfect example, the little Japanese team that I've got the DMAC little Toyota thing, which is homologated, which I was involved with them on Rally Finland this year. They're going to be doing some APRC rounds next year and things like that. Once we stop losing those cars, Jack, we are going to lose those crews at the back of the field, and we're in danger of just being top heavy again of just having R5 WRC cars.
Yeah, it's definitely a problem, and you know, trying to work out how sort of the smaller cars and getting other crews into the WRC events is an issue. I know the FIA have looked into potentially sort of allowing unhomologated cars onto international events, which, you know, is a difficult topic that's been talked about for years, isn't it? So the answer to that is pretty difficult. And, you know, we've talked about a lot with the crew pen and stuff, haven't we? That kind of debate, you know, if the manufacturers aren't building cars and homologating them, then, you know, the options of new cars are very slim, aren't they? And that, you know, that proves an obvious problem moving forward, which we're kind of experiencing now.
This is the Absolute Rally Podcast. Team Coordinate, your perfect travel partner for all your European, Manx and Irish motorsport travel. Whether you're a competitor, marshal or a motorsport fan, we have the connections and discounts available for ferry travel to and from the UK. Team Coordinate, we can cater for individuals, teams or group bookings. Working with organisers of race, rally and classic touring events, we take away the hassle of travel with bikes, cars, trailers and trucks, accompanied or unaccompanied. Team Coordinate. Call Dane or Donna now on 44 1904 766787 or email us on info@teamcoordinate.com. This is Absolute Rally.
Welcome back to Absolute Rally. I want to move away from this, but it is kind of linked. Some calendars have been announced. Obviously, we'll mention the BRC calendar very, very shortly. But the FIA European Rally Championship calendar for 2017 has been announced, which has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 events. You've got, obviously, your junior events, which is 6 events. I'm confused by the European Rally Championship because on paper, it should be a really, really natural, good fit. You know, we know Chris Ingram's gone there and done quite a bit recently. Obviously, he's European Rally, you know, two-wheel drive champion this year. But it seems to be on the downward spiral, but it's got everything that people talk about in rallying. It's got great TV coverage, obviously, with Eurosport, you know, as the backer and everything else. Where's it going wrong? I'll come to you first, Jack.
Funny enough, I think it's in the calendar. Okay. I think some of the events are, you know, I love the Azores, but, you know, it's expensive to go and do. Canaries is expensive to go and do. I think some of the other rallies are not the highest quality, really, to be honest. And I think losing three of the what I'd call some of the better rallies. Admittedly, Circuit of Ireland isn't one that they had a choice with, but Ypres and Estonia I thought were fantastic events. You know, Estonia produced that awesome result of the 2015 when Lukcan up won in the Group N car and really mixed the field up. And you know, we all know how good Ypres is. It's really disappointing to see them going missing. But yeah, it just seems like, the you know, going a bit too far afield for cruising Europe to make it worthwhile to them, if that makes sense.
Right, obviously you did bits and pieces with the Peugeots back in the day, and obviously they took in Belgium events and things like that. Was the European Rally Championship ever kind of on your radar in your career?
No, I mean, the European Championship historically was always something that was contested by, you know, European drivers, wasn't it? You know, Italian drivers or French drivers, Belgian drivers. There was very, very few Brits actually went to the European Championship. But then once Eurosport took it on board, obviously, as the IRC before it became ERC, then it became central to rallying again. And obviously we saw Chris Meek rejuvenate his career through it. We saw Guy Wilkes going very well there. You or Hannon and etc. And unfortunately, since then, it's dropped off the radar again. And I think it's probably twofold. Firstly, WRC2 is now very successful, and we've seen a lot of drivers that maybe would have gone and done ERC now doing WRC2 instead. And secondly, it's very expensive to do ERC. And maybe what we don't see from a distance is the, you know, what's going on with the events. I know when Ian Campbell was involved with the Rally of Scotland there for a while, it was so expensive to put that event on. And I think if you wanted live Eurosport coverage, I mean, Jack might be able to back me up here, but it was something like £250,000 or something stupid if you wanted live Eurosport coverage. So it was incredibly expensive for the events to hold the rallies. And that's probably why we've maybe got a slightly more unusual calendar than what you'd expect. These are the rallies that are able to finance their place,
Jack,
on the calendar.
Can you shed any light on that?
Yeah, is it just to add to the expense bit? I mean, you know, Gerard Rhino at the minute is looking at potentially doing WRC2 or ERC next year. And you know, the only thing holding them back from doing WRC2 is the TV coverage. You know, the TV coverage of WRC2 is non-existent, whereas I think the coverage of the ERC is brilliant. You know, people might disagree with me there. We don't get so much of it in the UK. We only get half an hour show, but you know, I think the coverage is good. I think there's lots of helicopter footage, and the pictures are good. It's good to look at. It's appealing to the average viewer as well as it is to the sort of rally fans. WRC just doesn't have that. It doesn't have the exposure that the RC has. But you know, I think that's the only thing that stops people from doing WRC, because it's a similar price to go and do five rounds of the World Rally Championship in a WRC2 car as it is to do a whole ERC program. So you know, if you're a driver and you're looking at it, what are you going to pick? You're going to pick the five rounds of the WRC and go wherever you want in the world, or you're going to do just European rounds of the RC, which some of them are very expensive to get to, and the rallies aren't as high quality as the WRC rallies are. So you know, to me, it sounds like it's a no-brainer.
I guess
like
the
that.
Other thing as well is that you know, from a being in the eye line, if you like, of team management and stuff like that, you know, I think probably once ERC lost like Skoda Motorsport, and obviously, you know, when IRC, there was Peugeot there, there was Proton there, you know, management are no longer in ERC looking at drivers. And I think that's possibly the other big thing as well, is that sometimes while they may lose on one side, i.e. with the TV coverage, at least, you know, you've got all the team managers there. And if you're putting in a stage time against one of their cars in an R5 car, someone's going to sit up and take notice. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, you know, I think you're right, but that's what we're saying. You know, Division 2 has effectively gone from what was the ERC now to WRC2. You know, that is the proving ground. But it's probably quite right in what you're both saying. It in some ways depends what you want out of the sport and what your backers want. Because if you're an aspiring young driver, then WRC2 has got to be the place to be. If you're trying to give value for money to a sponsor, then you can see the appeal of ERC, because like Jack says, some of the TV footage is fantastic, some of the aerial footage, etc. But the rallies are paying heavily to get
very
that
much
coverage.
So very much so. Right, a couple of things I'm going to blast through, because I know we're running out of time, because as I say, Jack's a busy man, he's in demand. Tall Pines Rally, which is happening this week. We had Robbie Durant on last week. He's going to be sitting alongside Travis Pastrana. All being well, we are going to have Anton Lesage on with us next week. We're working towards that. I'm also going to have Harry Bates on with us as well, because we're going to complete our hat trick of Aussie guests. That's what we're aiming to do. We're going to have three Aussies in a row. I don't know whether we get an award for that. Not really sure. So that's going to be coming up anyway. So, yeah, good luck to everybody on Tall Pines, even the marshals and stuff that we know who download the podcast. And a former, it's bizarrely enough, a former mechanic of mine, or engineer, or whatever you want to call them. He's been a busy boy of late, and I noticed, right, you tweeted, retweeted about Florian Bernardi the other night. I think it was last night, and Florian was actually what used to work on my car 5 years ago, and he was a rapid young man in the Junior French Rally Championship. He did a lot of the One Make series, and he's just managed to secure a deal in a DMAC R5 Peugeot on Rally du Valais.
And a spectacular livery as well, wasn't it? It was the livery that really, really struck me about that. So, Rally de Var, isn't it? But great looking 208. So, it'll be interesting to see how he gets on in the R5.
We were going to have Florian on, but genuinely, I texted him saying, "I hope you're well," and we just had a bit of a back and forth. My French is appalling. I can say "wifi" and I can say "Darian." And that's about as far as it goes. And Florian, by his own admission, texts me back saying, "My English is not as good as what it was 5 years ago, but thank you for your proposition." So I don't quite know what he read in that, but he thought I was propositioning him in some way, shape or form. But anyway, Florian, if you are listening, enjoy the rally. Best of luck with it, mate. And hopefully we will catch up in the not too distant future. And we will see you maybe one day rallying over here, because he is a very, very, very quick boy. Jack, I know you're pushed for time. Have you got time to do your any other business, or are you okay now, or what?
Yeah, I can do a quick any other business.
Well, let's do your any other business thing, Jack.
It's a bit of a sad one, I'm afraid, but I felt it was one that I needed to point out. So, on the 25th this week will be the anniversary of Richard Burns' death. It'll be 11 years since Richard passed. Obviously, 10 WRC wins. England's only World Rally Champion, and I just wanted to sort of doff my cap and pay my respects to Richard, who's a, you know, he's a great loss to English rallying, and you know, what an absolute performer. And you know, we could talk all day about some of his best rallies, couldn't we? His first win, and there's many highlights along the way, and a few downsides as well. But you know, how lucky are we to have had Richard Burns driving as an Englishman in the WRC?
No, I couldn't. You put it very well. Right, I think you were obviously a lot closer probably than both Jack and I to Richard, and obviously David Williams. He funnily enough came up in the podcast last week. Your thoughts on Richard?
Yeah, I mean, I sort of started rallying really, what, about 3 years behind Richard, I suppose. So I came through the Peugeot Challenge, and Richard was always the driver that everybody looked up to, because unlike Colin, had driven for Peugeot, but Richard actually came through the Peugeot 205 Challenge and won it in a very convincing manner, then moved up to British Championship, won the British Championship, moved up to the World Championship, won the World Championship. So obviously he went through that ladder and succeeded at every level. And, you know, he was a very, very professional driver. He just set his mind to something and worked very hard to achieve it. Hard to believe it's so long since he was rallying now. And you know, really a very smooth driver. Like I say, not only professional off stage, but very professional on stage as well. And as Jack said, you know, England's only world champion. And to be honest, you can't really see another English world champion coming in the near future, which is a little bit of a sad thing to say, but we're still a little bit of a distance from seeing that ever repeated.
Absolutely. We spoke, funny enough, about iconic images and everything else. And for all the classic images of rally cars and stuff, and I think we even mentioned it when we had Colin McLean on, was that particular piece of footage where he went into service on the Safari and he just cut that corner and ended up in this ditch, and he's using advertising hoardings and things, and him, the frustration of him trying to get that car out of there. And I think everybody, you know, we spoke, I think, last week with regards to, you know, the Skoda guys, you know, everybody being upset when they didn't get the gearbox back into Colin's car. But I think it was one of those moments as well where I think a lot of people were, I think it was heart-wrenching to watch Richard go out of a rally through effectively, you know, something in pretty much in a service area, or at least going into service, and that's one of that piece of footage and that image will always stay with me. It was such a heart-wrenching piece of footage to watch, the frustration as it slowly dawned on him that he wasn't going to get the car out of that hole. And yeah, I fell for him again. Great man, who was very, very sadly taken from us way, way, way too soon. Ryan Champion, I don't know whether you want to do yours first, or you were...
I can do that, and it kind of segues quite nicely from Richard Burns, obviously in memory of Richard. Is the Richard Burns Foundation, which they do a great job raising money for very worthy charities, and the Richard Burns Foundation support a lot of motorsport events, you know, certainly around the country and around the world, and Goodwood Festival of Speed every year always raises money for the Richard Burns Foundation, and last weekend there was an event at Pro Drive, which again was raising money for the Richard Burns Foundation, and that was actually to celebrate 20 years, unbelievably, since the end of Group A Rally.
Wow.
So the 1996 Rally Catalonia was the final round of the World Championship that year. It was won by one Colin McRae in a 555 Subaru, and not only was that car at Pro Drive last week, but actually the three works entries from Pro Drive on that rally were reunited together, I think probably for the first time since Catalonia 96. Luckily enough, one of those cars is my car. So we had the three 96 Catalonia cars together. We also had Carlos Sainz's 95 winning Catalonia car there. There was Christoph Holovich's European Championship winning 555 Subaru. There was the Simon John Joseph 555 Subaru that he drove to spectacular effect in the French Championship. Some awesome videos of Simon John Joseph driving that on YouTube if you've not checked that out. So we had some fantastic cars there, some Pro Drive Group N cars, and then a lot of very rare road cars, a lot of lightweight RA road cars, and it was a real nice sight to see all the cars back together to celebrate 20 years since the end of Group A rallying. A nice
fantastic
sight to see,
really. Fantastic. I've got two any other businesses I am allowed, because one of them unfortunately is a little bit sad. A friend of mine and a person that I work with him, and a lot of people won't necessarily know who he is, but they'll definitely know about what he's produced. Drew Bowler, who unfortunately passed away in this past week. And Drew Bowler, if you think of the Bowler Wildcats and all these awesome Land Rover derived off-road machines. I work with Drew on quite a few projects, and it's going to be very, very odd not having our usual cup of coffee at Autosport in January, where we kind of try and get one of his vehicles into the middle of nowhere with about a week to spare and things like that. And thoughts go out to all at Bowler and Drew's family as well, but still, there you go. Any other business, I am allowed to when it comes to something like that. A bit of a strange one, a slightly left field this one, boys, but I think you'll appreciate it. References to rallying that's happened, references to rallying in strange places. And the reason why I put this one out there, we made reference to a program last week, which was called The Winning Streak, which, by the way, I watched the first episode of today, and it is as equally as appalling as what we thought it was going to be 20 years on. There's a band called Half Man, Half Biscuit, which you may or may not be familiar with. They're a very funny band. They do kind of comedy type songs, but they're very, very talented and very, very good at what they do. But they've got a song which I was listening to the other day, and it's got reference to the fact that and the line goes in the song, "The wonderful dexterity of Hannu Mikkola makes me want to shake hands with the whole of Finland." Now, which is just a great line anyway, but rallying in strange places, boys. Rallying where we don't expect it to be. Obviously, I've just mentioned that Winning Street TV program, which has now made two episodes of our podcast, and I'm sure it's going to feature on more as I watch them. But where else in the world do we encounter rallying that perhaps we wouldn't normally expect it?
Well, I've got a great one, also related to bands. If we go back to the mid-80s, UB40 were huge, and UB40 actually back in the limelight at the minute. I think they're again touring and sort of back, not all back together, but I think certainly some of the original band members are back together and performing some of their great hits. And UB40 actually sponsored a rally car. The one that I really remember was the Nissan 240 RS. It was driven by James Petrowski, co-driven by Chris Wood on the RAC rally. And that was in UB40 livery. And actually, in the back of the video, so Rat in the Kitchen, famous UB40 video, filmed in the kitchen, there's a picture of the then UB40 sponsored Ford Sierra Cosworth of James Petrowski on the wall.
Jack, have you got any references to rally cars or rallying being referenced at any strange place?
You can't put me on the spot like that.
All right, you can have your moments of research. Folks, we've got to the end of this segment of the podcast. We didn't think we'd get there, but we got there in the end. We've got Molly Taylor coming up, the wonderful Molly Taylor coming up after the break. And again, if you've enjoyed this, and we've got a few more episodes to go, we're hoping we're going to bring a few more different episodes about before the end of the season. And I keep threatening this, but hopefully with a former WRC manager, and we're going to have Julian Porter, and maybe we're going to try and get Martin Holmes back as well to review the WRC season that we've just had. But Jack Bengen, same time, same place next week.
I'm going to ride off into the sunset on my pink scooter now.
Ryan Champion, same time, same place next week for you, sir.
I'm going to ride off into the moon rising on my blue scooter.
And on that image, folks, enjoy the thought of Jack and Ryan on scooters. I'm going to go away now and edit our wonderful podcast. If you've enjoyed it, please spread the word. And by the way, I did mean to name check the guys who left us some great 5-star reviews on iTunes. If you could go onto iTunes, folks, it really, really does help. If you could go onto iTunes, leave a little review, tell us what you think of the program. It doesn't have to be 5 stars, but believe you me, it does help. Again, appreciate the download. You know where we live, absolute_rally and facebook.com/absoluterally. Sit back, relax, and we're going to have the current 2016 Australian Rally Champion Molly Taylor coming up after this break.
This is Absolute Rally. Team Coordinate, your perfect travel partner for all your European, Manx and Irish motorsport travel. Whether you're a competitor, marshal or a motorsport fan, we have the connections and discounts available for ferry travel to and from the UK. Team Coordinate, we can cater for individuals, teams or group bookings. Working with organisers of race, rally and classic touring events, we take away the hassle of travel.
with bikes, cars, trailers and trucks, accompanied or unaccompanied. Team Coordinate. Call Dane or Donna now on 441904-766-787 or email us on info@teamcoordinate.com. This is the Absolute Rally Podcast.
Welcome back to the final section, Absolute Rally. We've got a little bit of a living legend with us now. Friend of the show, Australian Rally Champion 2016, Molly Taylor. Welcome back to Absolute Rally.
Thank you very much for having me back. It's got a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Still sounds weird.
It's got a hell of a ring to it, by the way. It's got a hell of a ring to it, by the way. Now, we spoke to you at the beginning of the year, and there was almost, dare I say, excuses put in that particular piece we did, we're saying, you know, it's a Group N car, it's a heavy car, it might not be, you know, we're just glad to be there. And there was those things that we all trot out over the years when we do those types of interviews. The next time we speak to you, you're Australian Rally Champion in that big heavy Subaru.
Yeah, it's been a big year, hasn't it?
It's been an epic year. It's been an epic year. And we've watched from afar. I'll be honest with you, right, and this is perhaps my naivety. I feel I know a little tiny bit. It's a frighteningly tiny bit about rallying. But you guys have heat in your rallies.
Yes, that's correct.
So I was doing the points totaling up and stuff like that, because I was going to get you last week, but we had our other favourite Aussie guy on, Brendan Reeves. So I thought, well, we'll save Molly, because Molly could be Australian Rally Champion. You see, there's method in my madness. But when I started looking at the points, I was like, okay, so she's equal third on round one, because there is a total of the point. Can you explain to somebody as thick as me how the heats work on your championship, please?
Oh, you've been a little bit harsh on yourself there. But, yeah, so we have, you know, rather than the traditional format of a WRC rally, we have each day is a separate rally effectively in itself and called a heat. So you get, start the day on a clean slate, and wherever you finish the rally at the end of that day, you get points allocated for that day. And then the second day you start on zero again and start again. And then we have two of the events, the Asia Pacific round and the WRC round, which are classified as endurance events. So for those ones, we still have the heat system effectively, where you get 50% points for those heats. But then they're also, you know, the rally is classified as a, you know, typical standard event. So for the WRC, there was full points awarded to the whole WRC event over the 3 days. But then each day they also awarded 50% points for where you finish in that day as a day on its own. Just to make it a bit more complicated.
No, do you know what? Now you've explained that, I don't feel as stupid. Basically, each day is a point scoring round. If you could have just said that, I would have been all right with that. But no, very succinctly put, Molly Taylor. You can tell all this World Rally Radio experience now is starting to come to the fore when you do these things. Good on you.
Now, thank you.
Now, we did speak about, obviously, the car. You know, it's Subaru were coming back, obviously. The guys behind it, very, very much a Group N car and stuff. And, you know, the big concern was, you know, the likes of Harry was in effectively a Super 2 car. And, you know, have you just got in in every round and just done your own thing and just seen where everybody else finished? Because, you know, you can't really go apples for apples, can you, against, you know, something that is not a production car?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that, I think, you know, in the end has helped us, because we've just gone into every round trying to do the best job that we can do. You know, and obviously keeping it, you know, a look at what's happening and what other times the guys are doing, and we're still, you know, pushing to be as close as we can and set as competitive times as we can. Really the main focus has been to make sure we do the best we can do on every stage. And that's what's kept our focus, you know, I guess really, really narrow all the time and kept us, you know, being consistent and, you know, everything worked really well together. And for our first year working together, we didn't have any idea what to expect. And I thought coming in a top five finish would be really, really good. You know, given the way everything sits in the championship. But, obviously unexpected to be in this position, but, you know, we still tried our best, so it's always the ultimate goal.
Obviously, I think you were first on Rally Australia as well, which obviously it's, you know, we're all suckers for doing our home WRC rounds, but it was nice to get that in as well, wasn't it? And nice to win on it.
Yeah, look,
a way to secure it.
To be honest, I didn't even realise until we got to the finish podium at, you know, we'd be so focused on the national championship and where we were in that and what happened for the whole season, that it wasn't until we got to the end we went, oh yeah, we're the first Aussie crew home as well. So obviously, you know, a fantastic cherry on top.
Now, the obvious question that we go to now is, was this a 2-year plan, and have we done it a year in advance? So what's going to happen next year?
Yeah, look, I knew that we could win the championship with Subaru, but I didn't expect it to happen this year. So Christmas come early, I guess. You know, really excited, and the team obviously are, you know, really excited, and they've been working incredibly hard. And for Subaru to have such a big break away from rallying and to come back and have success like this in the first year, everyone's incredibly motivated. So we haven't decided exactly what's happening, but there's lots of discussions happening, and I think things are looking positive in any case.
Which is that, because to be fair, okay, on the world stage, Subaru are not there anymore. We know that happened a few years ago now, but certainly domestically, obviously I was speaking to Robbie Durant the other day, who's sitting with Travis next year over in the States. We're gonna have like Anton Lesage coming on in the next few weeks, and the importer side of it, and which is exactly what you've kind of rode on the back of, your partner, expert, seems to be getting stronger again. The importers, the Subaru importers, seems to be embracing rallying again.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, Subaru in Australia, we've got the second largest or the largest market share outside of Japan domestically. So it's, Subaru market in Australia is incredibly important, and it's been growing really successfully. And with the launch of the new Impreza that we have coming up at the end of the year, domestically, Subaru's performing really, really well, which is fantastic for rallying, and it's a fantastic fit. And the rally program, I think, is helping the growth and the really strong performance of Subaru. So, and that's happening, like you say, in America and China. Subaru's doing really well as well. So that's exciting and encouraging to see. And I mean, I guess you never know where that momentum will build to. Obviously, I would love to be back national stuff as well. And, we just have to work hard and see what happens.
I guess the big question is now, Moll, are we going to see you back on these shores again? Are we going to see you in Europe again? What is there any springboard from the successes you've had this year?
Oh, I would love to come over and compete again over there. I loved it completely. But, at the moment, we're really focused on what we were doing this year. And I guess now we have to sit back and have a look and make a bit of a plan for next year. And, just grateful for the opportunity that Subaru gave me at the beginning of this year. And they took a risk with me, and really happy that all worked out. And I think we've built something really good. So obviously, I'd like to keep trying to grow what we've built here and see where that can take us. But still all a bit unknown at this stage.
The guys behind the car again, this we should kind of dop off caps to those guys as well, obviously, because they came back as well. Tell us a little bit about the team, Mo.
Yeah, it's been an incredible year. So it's effectively a Subaru Australia team run by Les Walkden Rallying, and Les Walkden has been involved in the sport for so many years, and this is his first outright win in the outright classification in ARC. So super, super excited, and he's just one of the biggest supporters of rallying, and he has an incredible bunch of really hardworking guys down in Tasmania in a small shed, and they built this car from scratch, and we did the first test, and since then have never had a mechanical problem with the car. So that's pretty incredible from those guys, and they they put in all the effort to make that happen, and it's it's a small team, but it's really like a family, and I'm really, really lucky with how that all turned out.
And Bill Hayes, of course, who's been sat alongside you for the last couple of years. I love that band background. Bill Hayes, he's sat alongside a few guys over the years as well who could pedal, and it's just, I suppose, having that experience as well as somebody who's done the Australian Rally Championship and so much more, has been such a steady an influence as well.
Oh, he's been hugely instrumental in the car, and I said it to Bill on Sunday night that this year wouldn't have happened without him, and having him in the car and his help, saying the right thing at exactly the right time. He's been really instrumental. And he said before 2015 that he was retiring, and I rang him at the beginning of 2015 to tell him that no one really retires from rallying. He laughed at me, but it was the right decision at the time, and I'm really grateful that he decided to come back. And he's finished second in the championship a few times. So he said to me, "I'm only coming back if I don't have to wear the bridesmaid's dress again." So there was no pressure. But yeah, it was great. great moment and emotional moment for both of us.
Fantastic. No one wants to see Bill in a dress.
Well,
at the end of the
yeah,
day.
That's exactly right.
And that's a good enough reason to win any championship.
Yeah. That's a very good point.
Listen, we're going to let you get back to what's going on there. And sorry you didn't get to do your passenger rides and stuff. But Moll, how do our listeners...
We'll be back next time.
I'm sure you will. How do our listeners get follow you, what you're up to? Not follow you in a weird way. I mean, Twitter and things like that, if you want to let people know.
Yeah, all the obligatory social media. So Molly Rally, very easy to remember for Twitter and Facebook. And Instagram is just Molly_Rally. So... always busy on there.
Molly is always busy on there, folks. If you have enjoyed what we've done with Molly, Molly does put lots of bits and pieces out. Please check it out. You know how to find us as well. It's Absolute_Rally on Twitter and Facebook.com/Absolute Rally. That is the end of this week's podcast. Molly Taylor, thank you for joining us on this week's podcast. You are our last guest of the show this week, so you get to say goodbye.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and we should make this a bit more regular. I thought you were ignoring me all this year. I thought you'd lost the love.
But... No, we'd never lose the love, Moll. We'd never lose the love. What we didn't want to do is we didn't want to jinx you, because you got off to a good start, and we didn't want to. We thought, we'll just get Molly back when she's champion. And that's what we did.
Well, maybe you're the lucky charm then.
Okay, well, there you go. Well, what we'll do, beginning of next year, we'll talk to you at the beginning of next year. And then this time next year, we'll be talking to you about whatever you've won next.
I look forward to it.
There's a logic behind it. Folks, thanks for the download. Molly will be back with us soon. And I'll be back with you next week.